WHUR-FM in HD1 Washington, along with a network of WHUR digital channels and WHUT celebrate Women's History Month with Boss Ladies, charting their own paths. Here's Harold Fisher.
They are CEOs, COOs, and CFOs, women ditching their traditional 9-to-5s to venture out to start their own businesses. The fact is, Black women now account for the fastest growing number of entrepreneurs. Tonight, we take a look at women who are tapping into the deep wells of business acumen and thriving along the way. Good evening. Welcome to our monthly special edition of The Daily Drum, a collaboration between 96.3 WHUR, HUR Voices, and WHUT-TV. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, in honor of Women's History Month, we present Boss Ladies, Black women entrepreneurs charting their own paths. And tonight, you're going to hear from women who are redefining what it means to be large and in charge. As always, we have a great panel of experts to lead us through this topic. And of course, we will not be taking phone calls, but we invite you to join the conversation online using the hashtag BossLadies. This evening's discussion is being streamed live on WHUR.com, Facebook, and YouTube. My guests are Ty Heath, Global Lead for the B2B Institute at LinkedIn and co-founder of Transform Her. April Williams is the CEO and owner of the Kennedy Consulting Group. And Nicole Parker is Principal and CEO of the Ellison Group. Ladies, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
So, as I said at the beginning of the program, women are the fastest growing segment of the small business community. Ty, does that surprise you?
Not at all. It just shows the resilience, the determination, and it's what I see within the community of Transform Her folks, whether we're in corporate, whether we are entrepreneurs, or even in the space of venture capital. I see women on the move. You're right when you say Black women are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs. It's just amazing to see the number of businesses growing and even the investment happening during the pandemic. It's really amazing to see, not surprising at all.
What about you, April? In your experience, what have you seen when it comes to Black women entering this space and over the past several years?
Well, I definitely agree with Ty. However, I would take us back to about 2008. After the major downturn, many of the Black women-owned businesses, or many of Black women in corporate America and other branches, begin to lose their jobs. And so this was their only source, so their only opportunity. So it really is not anything new. It's just that in the wake of George Floyd, we're beginning to hear more about Black-owned businesses. And after the Me Too movement, we're hearing about Black women businesses. But from 2014 to 2019, it had its fastest growth. And 50% of the women-owned businesses that were started are by Black women. So yes, we're just now actually starting to hear about it, but it's been pretty accelerated for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. So Nicole, you know the saying that business is the economic engine that powers America, specifically small business. In your opinion, what parts do women bring to that economic engine?
For women, I think, and for Black women, we have to walk three times as fast, right? The African-American male walks two times as fast as a Black woman. It's about being the CEO of your own happiness, right? And for me, being denied promotion passovers, being a VP at a company, being a director, I simply just got tired of not getting access to the seat at the table. And so we are demanding our access and that seat at the table. It's about strategy. It's about not stressing in the stretch. And it's about replacing that fear with faith and not being scared to take that chance.
Tell me a little bit more about that, Nicole, because you were saying at one point you just, it sounds to me as if you got sick and tired of being sick and tired. What was that like?
So for me, I work in the construction industry and again, walking three times as fast and in a male-dominated industry where I had two owners that I worked for that were male. I was carrying 70% of the revenue at the time and just scared to take that chance, to take that leap of faith and move. And one day I got tired after the promotion Passover, and I went home and sat at the table and talked to my father, and he was reading the newspaper, and he says, "What are you crying for? What are you going to do? You know what you're going to do. You're going to quit." And I looked at him and said, "Quit?" He says, "Yes, you've been doing it on your own. You just need to step out on faith." And that next day, I made a decision to quit and turned in two documents to the two owners and said, "Here is my termination letter. And by the way, here's my consulting letter if you want me to continue on with those contracts." But the biggest thing for me in that was integrity. And, you know, in that contract, I said, I'll continue and finish the workload that I was doing. And in continuing that, I would not take any work from that company. But if it was ever recompeted, it would be fair game. And that's what I did. And I can remember.
How were you received?
Very shocking. It was very shocking. And I can remember one of the owners saying to me after the meeting, "Well, Nicole, you know, the reason why we haven't given you an opportunity of ownership here is because we don't want you to be responsible for all the problems that we have." And I just simply turned and smiled and said, "Well, if I had ownership."
Outrageous.
Well, that sounded like a pat on the head. There. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to trouble you. That's foolishness.
And I sort of came back and said, "Well, if I had ownership, you wouldn't have all the problems that you have."
Come on.
Yes, that sounds like a little business shade there.
Yes, very much so.
You were kind of nodding your head, Ty, your thoughts about that story that Nicole was just sharing.
Yeah, I mean, we've done work to try to understand how Black women are received in the corporate world, and also when making decisions to leave, and also how people are seeing the value alongside doing the corporate job. We've gotten some really interesting thoughts. So I was just laughing a bit because we did a survey with 1,000 Black entrepreneurs to better understand the experience. And one of the things that I think is interesting that we're seeing is a mindset shift in terms of the way that corporate sees Black women doing business alongside a corporate job, and also how it's being received by employers who are, once you leave, the way that they receive the value of entrepreneurship and making decisions to work with that business again. So for example, we found that 51% of these businesses are actually, you know, receiving entrepreneurs, you know, very well in terms of doing business alongside the corporate job, which I actually found surprising. But it goes back to that mindset of that more accepting of doing remote work. It's a total transformation that's taking place.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit more about what you've seen as it relates to, you know, women walking away from their 9 to 5,
right,
and jumping right in. Mm-hmm. Do you think that some of them are jumping in blindly? What do they need to know for women who may be considering doing that very thing?
Yeah. So what corporate America needs to understand, and it goes back to, you know, what some of my fellow panelists are talking about today, is that Black women are multi-hyphenated entrepreneurs leaving for a number of different reasons. So whether it's financial security, whether it's job fulfillment or career growth, you know, we're finding that Black women are motivated to create generational wealth for families. And so it's, you know, it's that additional income, it's security. And for many of us, you know, including myself, you know, I used to run an agency, and I'm again in a part of a Transform Her community, which encompasses many different Black women entrepreneurs and women of color entrepreneurs. You know, what I hear is that the additional side hustle, or we're juggling additional side hustle, we're juggling 9 to 5, and we want to be respected and received when it comes to the corporate honoring the space for Black women to really invest. So right. In our survey, we found that 33% of Black women feel that full-time jobs as an entrepreneur, they feel like they've been overlooked for career opportunities.
Indeed.
Because they're doing in a job in addition to doing entrepreneurship. So I think there's an opportunity for us to continue what I just pointed to, that a mindset shift in the way we receive entrepreneurs. I think what it illustrates is a resilience, a determination, an ability to manage time well. And that should be an asset to a business rather than something you look at as that taking away from the ability of a Black woman to deliver. So we just, you know, especially during the pandemic, as was pointed out, more Black women founders are pursuing entrepreneurship, and the remote working has given more flexibility and control. And I think that's what people want. They want the space to build generational wealth. And also, it doesn't mean that we're not also contributing amazing value to the business.
Right. April, what do you think are some of the misconceptions about owning your own business? Some people think that, well, you know, you're going to jump in, own your own business, and now the only boss you have to answer to is yourself. You can you can have mornings off or or long weekends. Talk to me about what you found in that space.
Well, you are always going to be answering to someone. If you are a consultant like I am, I have clients, and my responsibility is to communicate with them and to be accessible. So that is definitely a myth that if you are a Black woman in business or any individual in business, that it's just easy. Now, I will say this, is that there is a certain type of naivete that helps to protect you. Because it obviously is not a walk in the park. Obviously, more people, a lot more people would be doing it, would be leaving their 9-to-5 jobs. But I believe that Black women are doing it. If I can encapsulate it in just one word, I would say liberation. Liberation of mind, liberation of body, liberation of your spirit. But also, it helps to remove that financial cap. When you're working a 9-to-5 job, you may get colas here and there, but I have found that in my experience working on jobs, there is no path for growth. There is no path for financial increase. When you're working for yourself, as long as you're not selling yourself short, as Nicole likes to tell me all the time, you can make twice, three times as much and even more, actually. And of course, it's not all about money, but that is how we build generational wealth. And that is extremely important. But I can say for myself, I created a whole outreach strategy for small minority and women-owned businesses for the state that I worked for. And there was absolutely no one said, great job, this is excellent. And they're still using this strategy. There's no credit given. And that kind of sounds like the Me Too movement, which was hijacked by another sector of women. And that happens, I would say, all too often, that we do the work and then it gets hijacked. And there are other people that get the credit and other individuals that we work with that actually get promotions from that. And so that is one of the biggest reasons why you're seeing this large exodus during the pandemic, because now people are working from home and you have the opportunity to do side hustles also while you're working your regular 9-to-5.
But let's drill down a little bit more about that, because how does moving from a 9-to-5 to being an entrepreneur, to owning your own business, if that is the only job that you have, being an entrepreneur, if you've never done it before, what are the things that may surprise you that you weren't expecting from professional life to personal life? What kind of adjustments did you have to make?
You definitely have to make adjustments to how your cash flows, right? So you are used to every 2 weeks or once a month, however your job pays you, and that is what you get used to. So you have to really, when I say really, learn how to save and conserve, and like my friend says, live skinny. You have to learn how to live skinny when you are working in a, as a business owner. So that can be a surprise. If you are going after state or federal type contracting, you need to be able to float your business for a certain period of time. Now that gets us into the issues with the lack of financing that we're able to receive from potential banks. And so you have to look into alternative financing. Some use credit cards and some use savings. And those are not necessarily recommended, but if that is what you have in order to get started with your business. But I would say the cash flow is probably the biggest surprise that people, you know, Black women in business have to face, because you're no longer getting that, you know, that normal paycheck that you would receive. But I can also tell you that once you learn the rhythm to it, you really can go far.
Ty, and actually to all of the ladies, if you can, even as we've shared your titles, the titles are not hyper specific to the jobs. And so I just want to ask simply, I mean, it's, we're not talking about Ty Heath, you know, pie baking, or Nicole Parker concrete company. So, you know, Ty, what do you do?
I can guess that all of us wear many hats on this call. Okay. That's what I'm gathering. And that's true for, that is true for so many Black women. So my job, the B2B Institute at LinkedIn, yes. I'm director of market engagement. Our B2B Institute at LinkedIn is a think tank. And we look at marketing effectiveness, working with leading researchers and academics. So it's behavioral science. And I try to apply that to everything, including how I think about this topic we're talking about today. So happy to share a little bit more about that. The other hat I wear that you mentioned is I'm co-founder of an event called Transform Her. So this was an entrepreneurial venture within LinkedIn, because I looked around me, and I'm at LinkedIn, we are committed to economic opportunity for the global workforce. And for me, I was like, how do we bring this to women of color? So the event is all about information, access, and resources to advance alongside allies, but very much centered on the conversation for women of color. And then the third piece that I always support, and this is where my passion for this topic comes in, is that I am an entrepreneur, will always be an entrepreneur. I ran a B2B inbound marketing consultancy for 3.5 years, and very much, you know, experienced the, you know, how do you think about your cash flow? How do you survive? How do I pay the people that are depending on me in my life? How do I build? How do I go from zero to 100? All of these challenges are challenges that I've experienced, but also learned so many things and have so much gratitude for the skills, the resilience. I know if anything ever happened, I know I can build something, right? Okay.
So, Nicole, we know that you are the principal and CEO of the Ellison Group, but what is the Ellison Group? What do you do?
The Ellison Group, actually, Ellison is Nicole backwards and forwards. And
how did I miss that? Wait a minute. How did I miss that?
Okay. Very good. A dear aunt who passed away actually in 2009, and she would call me Mini Oprah. It's like, you work so hard and you're the next Oprah. But for me, I grew up in the construction industry right out of college, a business major, and fell right into construction. I worked for two large firms and two small. And after, you know, building contracts for other companies, I said, hey, let me, if this doesn't work out starting my firm, all I have is me to bet on. And if I don't win, the resume will speak for itself. I can go back and get a job. And so I landed in the construction industry. We manage new construction projects from start to finish, beginning to end, open to close, in four areas: construction management, design management, technology, and facilities and logistics. So that is my day job. I would say my community service job has always been very important to me, to give back and to show other Black businesses how to gain a seat and get access at the table. And so 2013, we started the Ellison Group Foundation, which is an advocacy framework for teen moms. I had my son in college and African-American males trying to find their way and get to that next step. So that's job creation, it's mentoring, it's etiquette, it's getting into college. And so that is huge for me. And then third, I actually train and speak on a lot of platforms for American Express and SBA for small business. So I am a small business mentor.
Okay. I got it now. And Nicole spelled backwards. I don't know how I missed that. Very creative.
Thank you.
April, Kennedy Consulting Group. What do you do?
Well, first, Kennedy is my mother's maiden name. So that's where the name comes from. But we actually work in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space, and specifically for supplier diversity. And so for several years now, I've had the opportunity to support small minority and women-owned businesses in ensuring that there is equity on solicitations and contracting. And that really, if you will, that is how many of our white-owned counterparts grew their companies, through government contracting, through the GI Bill. And so what I do is I analyze the marketplace to ensure that there are proper solicitation goals that are placed on these particular contracts. I also wear other hats, and I also do voiceover work. And I'm a professional singer as well, too. So, you know, I definitely wear quite a few hats. There is a product I'm going to be bringing to the market sometime soon, within the next few months. So, indeed, like Ty said, wear many, many different hats.
Mm. Earlier, you mentioned that Nicole told you never sell yourself short. Nicole, what did you mean by that?
That's right. Mm.
I'm going to refer back to that day being denied my promotion Passover, as well as the people below me, when I was carrying 70% of the revenue for this company and knowing what was coming in, because I had brought, again, 70% in, and knowing that the owners did not care about their people and what they did, but more so care about the profit. For me, it's not about the profit. It's about, as a woman, you know, we embrace challenges. We have focused mindsets. Mm-hmm. And when we bring that forward, profit comes. And so for me, I've never cared about the profit. It's how I treat people and how I treat myself.
That's right.
First, and make sure that I gain that access to the table. And if I don't, and it's a no, that stands for next opportunity. That's something that I've said over the last 10 mm-hmm. years. No mm-hmm. means next opportunity. I will be back.
I have to agree with that. I've had several no's, and those can be your greatest motivators. It can fire you up. It can tell you, you know what, this is not the right opportunity for me. And then there are several times where I've gotten a no, for things that I'm more than qualified for, but it doesn't have anything to do with qualifications. It has everything to do with aligning with your purpose. And you might
what
hear
does that mean? What does that mean? The alignment of your purpose. I love the the holistic phrasing of that, but some people are going to say, what does that mean?
Right. Well, I was not put here on earth to be the host of the Daily Drum. That's not my purpose.
No, that's no. We're going to stay away from that.
Yeah,
I need to keep a job, so don't.
Absolutely.
Don't come in here.
And I've been listening to your show for years, and
you
have just gotten better and better. That is completely your purpose. My purpose is to advocate for small minority and women-owned businesses. It's clear, and really, to be honest with you, you know when it's clear because your pathway, it just begins to illuminate. Just like that MJ video, once you make a step, the pathway just starts to really just light up. And if you get to a point or where you submit a proposal for a particular contract where you're like, oh, this is going to be great, it might be a no. Case in point, I was actually going to be responding to a contract that was actually here in the state of Maryland. And there were a lot of hoops that I had to go through. And one of them being, I actually had to drive the solicitation to Baltimore in the middle of the day. That's very risky. I did not make it. I was 5 minutes late. And when I tell you, I sat in my vehicle in Baltimore and I just cried. That was the day where it was just a series of unfortunate events. My neighbor locked her and her dog outside. So she came while I was finishing up some last minute. And when I tell you, we have never been late submitting a proposal, submitting a bid or responding, we've never been late. I called one of my mentors. Her name is Janice Montague. She talked me down off the ledge. And let me tell you, if you don't have those kind of women, Black women, like I'm very blessed. I have Janice. I have Sharon Jackson. I have Nicole Parker. And Nicole and I, we kind of go way back. And I had the opportunity to interview Nicole some time ago. And so I knew her exit story. And that really inspired me and inspired my own exit story. So really having Black women who have walked this path and to really help you be able to find and align yourself with your purpose, that is truly, truly important and very impactful on your success.
Can I just chime in here on this? Because you said networks and it sparked something for me.
Right.
You know, one of the things, going back to alignment of values and connecting to networks, one of the things I love talking to business owners about, and one exercise I did myself was just thinking about three questions to get aligned to the purpose. What are you passionate about?
Right.
What are you committed to? And then what do you aspire to create? And if you can answer those questions and introduce yourself using the answers to those questions, that becomes something that people remember. And then you start to build a network of like-minded individuals and women and folks that share those values. And that's how other companies that you may work with start to identify you as having that value alignment. So I love this conversation because it helps people get to the core. And then I can't help but mention, when you talk about networks and forging opportunities, LinkedIn, shameless plug here, is a conversation before the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, more often than not, before people meet you, they search your name. More often than not, that number one result is going to be LinkedIn. That's an opportunity for you to share those values, for you to tell the story. What do you stand for? And and that way, before people even meet you, they're already seeing who you are.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take a break in a bit, but before we do, I'd like each of you to share with our audience about where you think women can best find some resources as they are either preparing to jump into the entrepreneurial space or some things that may help them along. Is there a website or a book or anything that you would like to share? We can start with Ty.
Well, you know what I'm going to say. LinkedIn is certainly one of the one.
I'm
going to
agree.
How did I not think of that?
I'm going to agree. LinkedIn
is going to be LinkedIn. Proactively adding people once you meet them, expanding your circle, reaching out, using LinkedIn Learning to, you know, the course is there for you to get the soft and hard skills that you need. When I was in the space of entrepreneurship, and even now, I still use a blog aggregator called Feedly to get all the different information to stay out front for my clients. And then I got to give a shout out to Harlem Business Alliance, who helped me become a women's certified business. So they're local places as well.
Okay. There definitely are.
Well, let me just
resource real quick.
Sure. Let me just give LinkedIn does work. I've won at least two opportunities in the past 6 months through LinkedIn. But as far as the resources, I would definitely say whatever state you're in, go through those opportunities. If you can get certified, like in the state of Maryland, it's through the Maryland Department of Transportation. And also your biggest opportunity for growth is in your network. In your network is your net worth.
Okay.
I would absolutely start there, those two places. Okay.
Nicole, real quick, you've got about 20 seconds to share.
I would say for me, piggybacking on both of what they said, the LinkedIn and in your network, your local state, MDOT has the small business certification, SBA, women's business centers all over the U.S., very important, your local MBDA, Minority Business Development centers, and your National Minority Supplier Development Council.
Right.
But you have one in every home state.
Okay. Thank you all so very, very much. We're going to take a quick station break. And we're going to say goodbye to our 96.3 WHUR audience. Also, Ty, thank you. We're going to say goodbye to you as well. I appreciate your input. But this conversation continues online and on SiriusXM, channel 141 HUR Voices, 96.3 HD2, and on 98.3 FM. Boss Ladies, Black Women Entrepreneurs Charting Their Own Paths will continue in just a